Zingo! Zamo!
This podcast Zingo! Is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike, and making men of them. Tears
and welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic podcast produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined, as always, by my partner in crime, the one and only Marcus Vandenberg. What's going on, Marcus?
How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, man. Been a week since we talked, and some things have gone down. But first of all, how was your week, man? Did you get into any trouble? Did you head out to Vegas? Did you just work all week?
Nah, I just worked. I'm actually going back to Vegas NetSuite for going to see Katy Perry.
Wait a minute. You're going to see Katy Perry. Is this a fiancé pressured trip, or is this something that you actively said, I got to see Katy Perry?
Actively said I got to see Katy Perry, but just caveat. Let me finish. I have a dear friend who I went to middle school and high school with, who is a backup singer for Katy Perry, and she's also friends with my fiance. So we decided to go see her. Her tour is wrapping up, and I think November. She's been on tour all summer, so I'm actually going to see her, not so much Katy Perry, you know. So. And then the following night is UFC 178 at the same venue, so it works out.
So you got to balance out the estrogen and the testosterone?
Yeah, one night it's, you know, roar, and the next night it's octagon, so.
now we got the song to go out with. For the first and maybe last time, we're going to go out of this segment with some Katy Perry.
In honor of Misha Tate.
I guess we got to start this week where it seems we've been starting for the last couple of weeks, and that is with NFL legal news. But before we get too serious, because these are serious topics of what we're going to talk about, I just got to get this off my chest because I had the most random thought the other night. Mm-hmm. And granted, I've been drinking, so, you know, it may not be the most, It may not be the most sensitive take on the subject, but I was just like, you know what? Networks are struggling to find programs that are hits. The NFL, would you say, Marcus, is a bona fide TV hit?
Correct.
Another show for years that has been a TV hit is Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
Law and Order, NFL. Just put them together. Mash them up. You just got the guy at the beginning in the NFL justice system. The players are represented by two separate but equal groups. The commissioner, who investigates the crime, and the players' association, who protect the offenders. These are their stories. Law and Order, NFL.
How much are you drinking again?
More than a little, less than a lot.
Okay.
And I really didn't even have the story worked out of my head, but I knew the ending scene. Because you know that at the end of every Law and Order, there's got to be like some smart quip. Usually it's like Jack McCoy delivering like the little zinger before they fade to black. And it's like, in this particular scene, Roger Goodell was being indicted. And he was like getting walked out of the courtroom and he looks at Jack McCoy and he's like, What did I do? And Jack McCoy's like, you of all people should have known it's best not to go out of bounds. Ding! Produced by Dick Wolf. Tell me that ain't hot, Marcus.
You joked, but I could see SVU doing a Ray Rice episode.
Oh, yeah, one of those ripped from the headlines,
yeah.
2 weeks later stories.
I mean, the season premiere is coming up, I think, either this week or next week. It's coming up soon. Sorry to see them trying to fit one in.
Oh, yeah. With T.O. as the guest star.
Who would play Ray Rice?
I'm thinking T.O. T.O. would do it.
T.O.'s like 10 inches bigger than Ray Rice.
Maybe Barry Sanders.
They're about the same size, but
actually, you know the guy, like, they might just flip it, because you know how sometimes they take the story and they tweak it, so instead of an NFL player, he'd be an NBA player, and they get Allen Iverson to play him.
They should just stick to NFL. That's the hot topic. All right, plus the NBA doesn't want to be associated with this. They're not going to be happy with a rip from the headline of an NBA player.
Or they could mash it up and have, like, a Michael Sam Ray Rice story. Whoa, that's even you pushing the envelope even further now.
I'm not doing that down that route.
Starring Kerry Rhodes. Boom, you said he's in Hollywood, he's an actor now.
Yeah.
I just got you a gig, Kerry.
Well, there's our comedy portion for the show.
Hollywood Simpson would do it though. I can see that. But yeah, let's switch gears, and you know, we're coming off the heels of one of the worst weeks in the history of the National Football League with Ray Rice, the tape leaking on Monday, and you had Roger Goodell's credibility being impugned throughout the week. There was another story that jumped into the forefront, and it involved, you know, and in Ray Rice's case, Ray Rice was a decent player, but he wasn't what he was. He wasn't one of the best. In this particular case that we're going to talk about, you've got arguably the best running back in the National Football League, and that's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, this story broke on Friday, and I'm sure Roger Goodell at this point, if he wasn't already drinking, he quickly asked for some alcohol, because this is the last thing he needed. But Adrian Peterson was indicted for child abuse in Texas on Friday, and this was released Friday afternoon, and Peterson had to fly down to Texas where he was booked and released on child abuse charges, and he was promptly deactivated for Sunday's game against New England. And all of a sudden, Ray Rice is now an afterthought, and all of everyone's attention is now focused on Adrian Peterson and these abuse charges that he is accused of for striking and punishing his 4-year-old kid.
And this story kind of is much more complex, much more nuanced, because I think everybody, without question, can look at the Ray Rice situation and say, you know, it's wrong to put your hands on a woman. You know, unless your life is imminently in danger, there's no excuse to put your hands on a woman. But with this, you get into child rearing, you get into culture, you get into race in some aspects, you get into regions, and you get into a lot of gray area where a lot of intelligent people can have disagreements.
Yeah, it's let's just start here. So, you know, we're both black. We're both raised pretty much in the same era. I'm sure you've been disciplined, correct?
Absolutely.
So, you know, when this story came out, originally there was a story that said a 12-year-old, and I said, look, he probably had it coming, because I had 12-year-old, I know how that is. Then it got down to 4, and then that got a little dicey, because I don't remember getting, I'm sure he got spanked at 4, you know, but I think there's a certain age where, you know, if you're out of line as a kid, you might have a spanking coming. And, you know, for some people it's a belt, for some people, I guess for Adrian Peterson it's a switch. That's also a cultural thing, you know, that's mostly a Southern thing, and the man's from Texas, so I remember getting spanked as a kid, and I never had scars and bruises like this kid did, and again, I don't think this happened at age 4 for me. So this story is very complex, and I'm a little torn into how to judge Adrian. I would like to, you know, wait until this actually goes through the court system, because what a novel concept. You know, I think we've all of a sudden have jumped to conclusion on a lot of these stories where these guys are innocent or these guys are guilty, excuse me, before they even had a chance to go to trial. And I think that's all because of the Ray Rice situation, where we're trying to make up for what happened with Ray Rice, but in the case of Ray McDonald, and in the case of Peterson now, where he's been charged, he hasn't been found guilty. But you know, all this backlash and cry for Adrian to not play and for the Vikings to suspend him until he's gone to trial, it just seems like a bit much, no?
Yeah, I think that the suspension or the deactivation for last week was a byproduct of the week that it happened. Like, if this had come out before Ray Rice, this has come out, you know, 3 months down the line or next season, you know, I think that it'd be a different reaction. But because we're in the midst of Ray Rice and Ray McDonald and Greg Hardy and all these other incidents and Roger Goodell, and the atmosphere is so bloodthirsty, for lack of a better term, for quote-unquote justice, that Adrian Peterson got sucked into this. And it is very problematic because I agree, man. Like, I was raised in a black home, in a southern home, in a Baptist home, and I was disciplined. I went to, like, it was never to the extent where there were open wounds like there are in this case, but, you know, there were welts. You know, when I go to my grandparents in Texas and Mississippi, they had no problem putting a licking to me if I needed it. So I do think that there's a place in child raising for spanking or disciplining if that's the type of parent that you want to be.
Listen, timeout doesn't work for everyone. You know, that whole timeout culture, no. That's how you get these lippy-ass kids, because what's timeout really going to do for especially a kid at ages, you know, 8 to 12? I mean, timeout, really? Okay, yeah. Sure.
Like, there had to, in my opinion, there has to be, and granted, I don't have kids yet, but I think there has to be a nuclear bomb, for lack of a better term. Like, there has to be, you don't have to always be that parent that's going to be the aggressive spanker or whatever, but the kid has to know that there's a line that I cannot cross or there will be repercussions. Case in point for me was when I think I was like 12 or 13, and we were in San Diego, and I limped off to mom's. And she hit me with those words that strikes fear in the hearts of every child. Wait till your father gets home.
Oof.
She told Pops, and this is, you know, this is like, I'm probably about 6 months into living in San Diego, and I'm associating with a crowd of knuckleheads. And Pops comes in. Here's what I say. I don't deny what I say, because I'm Billy Badass. Next thing I know, this man, who is a Baptist preacher and a Navy chaplain, turns into the Undertaker, grabs me by the throat, and chokeslams me onto the bed.
Oh.
Brings out the belt. It's not even a prolonged spanking. It's just like, wop, wop.
And don't even try to run, by the way. You just had to lay there and wait for it. Brace for it.
It was two quick ones, and he was like, don't let me ever hear you disrespecting your mother again. Are we clear? I'm like, yeah, we clear. And guess what? I never disrespected my mother again. So somebody out there might be listening saying, whoa, that's harsh. That's over the line. But it got the job done. And, you know, all kids are different, but I do think that to blanketly say, oh, there's no case where spanking or popping a kid on the hand or on the butt or whatever is not called for, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have kids yet either, so I really can't tell you how I'm going to discipline my kid. I might get to the point where I have a kid and I just can't do it, you know. But currently, where I sit now with no kids, and I see how kids run roughshod currently, I hope my child is not to the point where it needs to get to that point, but if it does, then I'll deal with it then. But I guess, you know, the real thing comes down to the age. At four,
yeah,
what exactly was this kid at four doing to the point where Adrian felt like he needed to discipline him to this point? And that's the thing I would like to know really about, is what the kid was doing, because at four, it's got to be a whole lot for you to be that upset at a four-year-old to the point where you feel like you need to discipline with a switch and not so much just a slap of the hand or you know, something like that. So
yeah, if you see the pictures online, like, they are very damning. It's not a good look for Adrian Peterson. Like, to me, the only instance that would even be remotely acceptable in terms of the putting the switch to that 4-year-old like that is if it was something that endangered the kid's life. Like if he was doing something, you know, running into traffic or touching a hot stove or something that's like, hey, man, this hurts, but it's better than you being burnt or run over or whatever. Other than that, like if he just was being disrespectful or wasn't listening or, you know, spit on Adrian or whatever, then that's above and beyond what should have happened in that situation.
Yeah. So as a result of this whole Peterson thing, he didn't play Sunday. Monday, he was reinstated by the Vikings. And we also started seeing our first signs of sponsorship sort of, or sponsors starting to fight back against the NFL and against the Vikings in particular. Radisson decided to suspend their sponsorship with the Minnesota Vikings until they addressed the Peterson situation. Anheuser-Busch released a statement saying they're unhappy with the NFL's policy or policing of their athletes. And now Nike is pulling jerseys in the Minnesota area of Adrian Peterson. So at some point, where do you draw the line in terms of, you know, at some point you got to say, hey, look, what he did was wrong, but at the same time, to start pulling his merchandise from stores, you know, is that a bit much?
I think so. And I mean, there's been, other stories that have come out in the past week where I guess there was another son that he had with another woman and, you know, he had left some bruises on the kid's forehead or whatever and had to get bandaged up.
Yeah, so TMZ cleared him of that, I guess. It was a situation where I think the kid had bumped his head and the bandages were from that, not so much from what he did. But that also came out Monday night as well. So he's had a bunch of kids, so I'm sure he's, you know, disciplined his kids. And let's not forget, Peterson lost a child last year. I think it was last year, right?
Yeah.
Where the boyfriend of one of his baby mothers had disciplined his child to the point where he killed him. So he's got experience and has been down this road when it comes to discipline with children. And I thought that would have sort of made him a little softer when it came to discipline when you lose a child like that, especially when it's not in your hands and when you know it's done by another male. I thought that would sort of soften him, but I guess not.
And it's the thing is, I think it's kind of a heat-of-the-moment thing because he has said that, you know, he's been in therapy since he lost his son, and, you know, he's trying to figure out ways to be a better father. But I think that, you know, like if somebody has gone through therapy, you can get all the tools in the world, but if you don't apply those tools, then it doesn't matter. Or if in the heat of the moment you revert back to how you've always dealt with things instead of using these new means and new ways to kind of work through problems, then it's not going to help the situation. And I think that Adrian Peterson is an interesting case, for lack of a better word again, because you've got somebody that is one of and the NFL is a faceless league. Let's not get it twisted. This isn't like the NBA where the stars are what drives the sport. The NFL, they have stars, but the NFL, the shield, is bigger than any individual person. But when you get a guy like Adrian Peterson, he's pretty high up on the list of guys that you would say, oh, he may be one of the faces of the NFL. And so when you got sponsors pulling out, when you got people, you know, getting rid of his jerseys, I think it's way too early to start that process of we're going to shun this guy, we're going to shame this guy, he doesn't belong in this league, based off of what we currently know right now.
Yeah, and just to, you know, it's apples and oranges, but let's just compare the response that Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy have received the last 2 weeks compared to what happened with Tony Stewart, who, accident or not, killed an individual, and no one has, outside of the initial following day when he was ready to race again, no one has questioned Tony Stewart for getting back in the car and resuming his life. Even though that case, as of Tuesday, is now going to a grand jury to determine what exactly will he be charged for, if anything. But I find it interesting that Tony Stewart is allowed to live his life and to continue on, but these black athletes are held to a different level, even though some haven't even been charged, or some have been charged but not found guilty of crimes.
Yeah, that's another facet of this where, and especially with the NFL, where these are gladiators, and we excuse a lot of the behavior from these guys on and off the field, but there are certain instances where I think we get, and I'm speaking we as in society, I think we get so righteously indignant about what the crimes are before we even know the full story.
Yeah.
You know, and with this Adrian Peterson thing, it's going to go to trial. You know, his lawyers kind of already worked out his defense in the sense of, you know, Adrian loves his kids. This is the way he was raised. This is the way he chooses to raise his kids. He's not a child abuser. And it'll be interesting because now, you know, last week the NFL, instead of talking about the games, we had a conversation about domestic abuse, domestic violence. And this week, instead of having a conversation about the games, we're talking about child abuse and how you should raise your kids. And I think that this is not what Roger Goodell certainly and the NFL owners want to be talking about, you know, week two of the NFL season.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And just to touch on the Stewart thing one last time, I know it's a sensitive topic when you're discussing women and small children, but if Stewart is charged in the death of Kevin Ward Jr., let's just note September 16th, let's just see if people are asking NASCAR to suspend Tony Stewart until his case goes to trial. That's all I'm asking for, to see if there's the same backlash and outcry at a NASCAR driver compared to, and actually a pretty big NASCAR driver. This isn't someone who is low on the list. I mean, Tony Stewart is probably, you know, one of the top, I would say top 10, top 15 names in that sport.
That's even
more higher. Yeah,
I mean, maybe top five.
Junior, Gordon, Stewart, he's up there. Let's just see if there's any cries for Tony Stewart to, even though NASCAR is wrapping up for this season, let's see if there's any cries for him to sit out until he goes through the legal process. That's all I'm asking for, to be fair, because I think, unfortunately, we're asking a lot of these guys, whether you agree with they did or not. I think they're being treated on a different level, unfortunately.
And not only are we asking a lot of the guys, I think maybe, Marcus, we're getting to a point where we're asking too much of the leagues.
Yeah.
Like, the leagues should not be, like, their primary objective should not be policing their players. Like, that should be the job of real law enforcement. You know, the league should be able to suspend you or fine you for things that occur on the field and at the facilities.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with the whole drug policy change that sort of snuck through last week.
Like, if you get convicted of something off the field, then the NFL should have a say. Like, if I get caught with a DUI, you know, my employer could say, okay, Nate, we're going to fire you, we're going to suspend you, whatever. But the NFL shouldn't be the first one making the first punishment.
And I mean, that's how it was until Ray Rice. And after Ray Rice, everything has changed in the last month where they feel the pressure. And I think a lot of it comes from social media that they are getting punked, essentially, into making these decisions because they are scared of the public backlash. But let's be real. Did you watch football on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't think anybody that said they weren't going to watch. Yeah.
I watched the Flame of the Flight on Saturday.
Yep.
So it's like the same thing with Chris Brown. I didn't see when boycott Chris Brown when all that went down with Rihanna. We'll get to Rihanna later on the show today. But
And I know women that was so adamant about Ray Rice, but I know for a fact they got Chris Brown on their iPhone.
These Hoes Ain't Low comes on and it's, oh.
He ain't talking about me.
Yeah, so
he ain't hit me.
Everyone just needs to chill, relax. I understand you're upset. Let the legal system work it out. It's usually right 60% of the time, maybe. But, you know, let's just not get into these whole overreactions about I'm not going to watch football. And no, yes, yes, you are. And it's the same way how the NFL is going to parade breast cancer awareness in October and have these guys in pink and for a month to pretend that they really compare, really care and support their female fans. So it's been an interesting first 2 weeks of the NFL season, to say the least.
Yeah, and real quick, one last thing on the Adrian Peterson thing. Like, I was listening to Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, the other night, and she was having the discussion about Adrian Peterson, and, you know, it got into the discussion of whether, you know, spanking or punishment like that is a proper way to discipline a child, and we kind of had a quick little back and forth, and, you know, I always respect her opinions on stuff, but I was like, you know, as a black man, and again, this might step on somebody's toes out there, but that's kind of what we do on this show. As a black man, I would rather spank my son at 4 or 8 years old than have the police discipline him at 24 or 28.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've seen, the police are not going to be the most receptive to disciplining young black men.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I would rather, if I quote-unquote beat my child at 8 years old, at least he's still alive. If the cops run up on him at 18 years old, that's a 50-50 proposition sometimes.
Yeah, those punches are going to hurt a lot more than the punches from you as a father. So, yeah, it's... I was amazed at how many people didn't know what a switch was.
Yeah.
Before, I had no idea what it was.
Is it a tree branch? Is it the trunk of a tree? Is it... Okay, let's see. Let's see. Before we go out, what's the worst thing you ever got whipped with, Marcus?
Like a thick leather belt.
Okay.
I
say, plus you're light skinned, so them marks, them bruises show up a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to my pops. I know he's listening, so he listens to the show.
What's going on, Pops Vandenberg? Thank you for listening. I'm going to tell you the worst thing I ever got whipped with, Marcus. I know a lot of people got whipped with, like, the Hot Wheels tracks.
Oh.
I got whipped with, you remember the Tyco, not the Tyco, the Lionel train set?
Uh-huh, I had one.
And, one Christmas I was acting a fool, and we weren't even at our house at Christmas. We were there either at our friends in New Jersey or at our relatives in Mississippi or Texas. But this was Mom's at this occasion. Mom's grabbed up a piece of the Hot Wheels track. Like, she derailed this city's public transportation that we had built. Took a piece of the Hot Wheels track out, the Lionel train track, took me to the back room, and wore me out with the Lionel train track.
Not the road spanking. Man, the road spankings are the worst. Just, you know you messed up. When you got to stop what you're doing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you got to come back in and act like you're having a good time at Christmas.
Uh-huh. No tears. Stop that crying.
Let's get this train back on track.
Yeah.
And on that note, I guess we're going to go out to some Katy Perry in honor of Marcus. Marcus's trip next week. And we'll come back and talk about some real on the field issues of in second down. Sound like a plan?
Works for me.
Alright. More Kings of Sport right after this.
Consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here. PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your Pigskin Preview, your Gridiron Gabfest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than nodding rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows.
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down. And if you're hearing that wonderful music, it can only mean it is time for Second Down, our weekly football focus, where we take a look at the games from last week, preview some of the games for the upcoming week. And of course, we have the world's most exciting pick contest. Let's start there, Marcus, and give the folks an update on last week's picks, and then we'll get into this week's selection.
All right, so last week we picked five games. We both went 2-3, actually. So I actually got some right this week. What a concept.
So we both went 2-3, and overall for the season?
Overall for the season, I am 2-8. Nate is 5-5, 500.
All right. So if you're betting on the picks that Marcus and I are giving you every week, you should probably rethink that strategy.
Now, I should tell you, I did the same thing with my buddy, and I went 4-1 with the picks I gave him. Somehow I went 2-3 on these picks, so. Not sure what I'm doing wrong on this show, but
I don't know, Marcus.
Go for the road underdogs, man. The road underdogs are covering this year, so.
All right. So, and again, we did have some listeners. Thanks to Jamie and Evan for hitting us up with your picks this week. We'll have to come up with some type of a standing board for the Facebook page, facebook.com/Kings of Sport. We'll update that. So hopefully we get some more listeners in on this, because the misery loves company, and we can all suck at our picks.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, Marcus, you ready to try it again for another week?
Let's go.
All right. Each week we pick five games, four on Sunday, and, of course, the Monday night game. And let's start with what may be the game of the week, a rematch of the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos heading to Seattle to take on the Seahawks.
All right. So Seahawks minus 4.5.
Seahawks minus 4.5. They're coming off of a loss. Richard Sherman was, quote-unquote, exposed by the San Diego Superchargers. The Broncos coming off a win that was, that game was closer than it really should have been.
Yeah.
He said 4.5.
Uh-huh.
Give me Denver.
I'll take the Seahawks at home.
All right, so I've got the Broncos. Marcus has the Seahawks. Game number two. Hail to the Redskins. The Redskins are going in without Black Jesus, RG3. Redskins taking on the Eagles. Nick Foles coming off of a big win last night over the Indianapolis Colts. What's the line on the Skins and the Eagles?
Eagles minus 6.5.
Eagles minus 6.5?
Yeah.
I'll take the home dog.
Give me the Redskins.
All right, I got the Eagles. Marcus says the Skins. Now, the game that I was alluding to, the Vikings and the Saints, Adrian Peterson is reported to be back this week. Does that make a difference in the spread? And does that make a difference in your pick, Marcus?
The Saints finally get a home game after starting the season 0-2 on the road. Saints 9.5-point favorites at home.
Ooh, 9.5.
A lot of points.
Ugh,
but that's probably a pissed off Saints team.
Yeah. And I do have Drew Brees on my fantasy team, so I want him to go in there and put up some phenomenal numbers. Ooh. Who you got in this one?
This feels like it's going to be one of those 42-14 games where the Saints just go off. I'm going to take the Saints.
Yeah, I'll go with the Saints as well.
It's a lot of points, though, but...
Yeah.
A lot of distractions in Minnesota at the moment.
Let's go to... Let's see. Who do I feel like going to next? Let's go Packers-Lions. The 1 o'clock game on Sunday for our fourth Sunday game. What's the spread on that?
Wow, Detroit minus one. Stress is feeling like a trap game for someone in Vegas. Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been accustomed to setups before, and this feels very similar to a setup situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take Detroit.
Oof. Give me the Packers.
All right, so you picked the Broncos, Seahawks, you picked the Eagles, Redskins, the Vikings, Saints, the Packers, Lions, and finally, our Monday night game.
Yeah, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Geno and the Jets taking on the Bears. The Bears coming into New York, New Jersey, wherever you want to call it. And what is the line on the Bears and the Jets?
Jets minus 2.5.
Geno's looked better than I thought.
He's looked better than last year, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of damning with faint praise. But I do like Chicago, though. I'll take the Bears.
I'll take the Bears.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah, I've been a Jets fan for too long.
So, again, to go over these games that you can pick with us, we've got the Seahawks hosting the Broncos, the Eagles hosting the Redskins, the Saints hosting the Vikings, the Packers at the Lions, and finally the Monday night game as the Bears take on the New York Jets. So those are our football picks for the week. And again, each and every week, you can join us at facebook.com/thekingsofsport and join in with your selections. Now that that's out of the way, Marcus, let's talk about the actual on-field exploits of week two. And let's start where we kind of left off. Last week's show, we were ending off right before the Thursday night game where the Ravens took on the Steelers. And it was a disappointing showing for me from Pittsburgh. And I think the only person more disappointed than Mike Tomlin was probably Rihanna. And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Pittsburgh hasn't looked right since the first half of game one. Ever since then, they've looked pretty awful.
And do you think that, because I think that there's something to be said for that Ravens team under all of that stress, just kind of banding together and going out with that 300 mentality of, you know, it's us against the world, and that helped them in the game. So do you think it was a matter of that, or are the Steelers just that bad right now?
I think the Steelers just that bad right now. I mean, they slipped all out of sorts. Couldn't get anything going offensively, and they had no answer for Steve Smith and Joe Flacco. So I just think it's Pittsburgh not playing well and not so much Baltimore actually, you know, trying to benefit from what's going on.
Their offense looks like Pittsburgh's offense looks very one-dimensional, and when you lose Antonio Brown, that doesn't help things.
Yeah, but they really don't have a outside of Brown, that's it for the receivers. I mean, Marcus Wheaton isn't a number two receiver yet. Heath Miller is a solid tight end, but he's not really going to be that passage that they can depend on. And unfortunately, they have talent in backfield. Le'Veon Bell has played great so far, and he's a guy who can not only run, but he can also catch out of the backfield. But in terms of receivers, they need some help at wide end.
And even Big Ben, like, Big Ben didn't seem in sync. Like, he took that big shot on the first offensive series. And after that, you know, it wasn't, I don't know, he just didn't seem in sync with the offense.
Yeah, he seemed healthy. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's limping around yet, which is a matter of time for him. But
yeah,
just a bit, it's to be a bad week. You know, they can bounce back against Carolina this week. They're the Sunday night game, so they go at Carolina, which will be.
I don't know about that though, man. Because Carolina's they've got a good defense, and Cam Newton. I think that could be if you had problems with Joe Flacco, and granted, Baltimore I think has some pretty decent weapons with Steve Smith out there, but I have a feeling if this is the Pittsburgh that we see on Sunday night, they're going to get ate up.
Well, it gets easier after that. Then they get Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, and Cleveland. So they get Cleveland again week six, and they're done with Cleveland after that. So it gets a little easier for Pittsburgh. Though Cleveland looks halfway decent now.
So you're a believer in Brian Hoyer?
Not really. I'm more of a believer than Hoyer than Menzel, so yeah.
Yeah, so let's go from the AFC North and let's talk a little bit about a game that I don't know, Marcus. I'm conflicted because I think Redskins fans are seeing what they want to see instead of seeing what really is. And of course, we're talking about the Redskins defeating the Jaguars 41-10, but the bigger story, RG3, at first it was reported that he was going to be done for the season, but now with the dislocated ankle, it appears that, you know, he may be back, but will he have a job waiting for him when he comes back?
All of you people who actually think Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than RG3, please don't engage me in discussion about football. Ever. Thank you.
Hey, I hear these people all the time. Like, I'm in the eye of the storm here in Virginia. Like, this is D.C. Jr. Like, when it comes to Redskins country, mm-hmm. It's probably D.C. is number one and Virginia is number two in terms of support for the Redskins. And I hear fans every day saying, and you know, RG3, he's good, but you know, he can't run this offense. You know, Kirk Cousins, give us the best chance to win. I don't know why I did like the Southern Hillbilly voice for that.
You're racist, Nate. You're talking about a white quarterback, and you have to do the Southern voice.
You ever catch your own innate racism?
Mm-hmm.
See, but anyway, go ahead, Mark.
We can be racist too, white people. It's all right. We all can laugh at it. We cool.
But yeah, what do you say to those people, Marcus? Because to me, it's like I think Kirk Cousins is a better fit today for that system. But in terms of like RG3, before he went out with that injury, you could see he's starting to get it in. You know, he's starting to become more comfortable with this Jay Gruden system. And you know, but it's like if you've got a kid that read English for all his life, and you come in and you got this real smart kid, but he only can read Spanish. It's going to take him a while to learn how to read English. Well, so the American kid would have an advantage early on, but I don't think that if you let these guys play 16 games with Cousins at quarterback and RG3 at quarterback, in the long run, RG3 is going to be your best opportunity to win.
Don't believe the hype. Just look at Kirk Cousins' numbers last year when he had a chance to play. We joked about Michael Vitt being inaccurate of passer. Cousins completed 52% of his passes when he got to play last year. 52%. let's not fool ourselves into...
What was he, 1-3 as a starter?
No, 0-5 when he played. 0-5? Oh, as a starter, he took over. So 0-3. He played Falcons, lost by a point. Cowboys lost by a point. And then Giants, he lost 20-6.
I thought he'd won a game. So he hadn't even won a game as a starter.
2012, I think you're thinking. 2012, Kirk Cousins defeated the Browns as a starter. And then he took over for RG3 in the playoffs and he got hurt. And went three for 10.
Three for 10,
yeah. 31 yards. So I don't see it. I'm not buying it. I'm not sure what people are looking at when they see Kirk Cousins besides he's not RG3. And I'll leave it at that. but they look fine. against the worst team in the NFL on Sunday. That's great. I just want to see it more often before we anoint Kirk Cousins the next great quarterback in the D.C. area.
And to me, you know, I think that RG3 is, he's, for a kid that's only 3 years into his career, he's polarizing. He is really polarizing. Like, you either love RG3 or you, for some reason, hate him. And I don't think there's very much gray area when it comes to people's opinions of Robert Griffin.
And a lot of that is his fault. It's the way he handles himself. I mean, if you compare him to Russell Wilson, people don't have the same thoughts about Russell Wilson because he's not a me-first guy. And I think RG3 is a me-first guy, and it's sort of all about the RG3 brand. And with a guy like Russell Wilson, I don't get that sense from him. So, I mean, a lot of that is on him. He can't blame anyone except himself. But that doesn't take away from what he can do on the field. And when you compare him to Kirk Cousins, there's no comparison when healthy.
Yeah, I agree. But I will say this, Marcus. Cousins is a very cerebral quarterback. He's got a high motor. He's deceptively fast. He can read defense as well. He's highly accurate, Marcus.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Andrew Luck. Whenever Andrew Luck loses, it's not his fault.
Let's talk about Andrew Luck right quick. Last night, the Eagles defeated the Colts 30-27 in a game that really should not have been that close, Marcus. Like, Indianapolis should have wrapped that thing up.
Yeah.
And you had Andrew Luck with, I mean, granted the receiver slipped, but Andrew Luck still threw the ball and it was intercepted. Philly went on to win, which not only lost my fantasy league, lost my game. I think it cost, cost you a game. Yeah.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah, it was the butterfly effect. But yeah, Andrew Luck, like, I think he's a very good young quarterback, but there are already people out there in the media that are saying that, you know, he's going to be the next great quarterback, or he's already a great quarterback, putting him up there with Brady and Manning and Rodgers and Breeze and cats like that. And I think that's, like, if you're looking at this guy, I think Cam Newton, to me, is a better quarterback than Andrew Luck.
Yeah, you can make the argument. He did not.
I'd argue Russell Wilson at this point.
Oh, yes.
I'd take Russell Wilson over Andrew Luck. Maybe Kaepernick.
No, I would not take Kaepernick over Andrew Luck.
I wouldn't either, but I think you could have that discussion.
I don't know. I'm not really high on Kaepernick these days. But I will say this. After I just ripped Andrew Luck, that final drive, I'm not sure why they got or fell in love with handing the ball off to Trent Richardson, who was getting 3 yards a carry. But, you know, you can't run the ball two plays and then put yourself in a situation where it's third and long and then ask your quarterback to make a play. So, especially when you're driving down to try to win the game, essentially. So, that part outside of Andrew Luck having sort of some bad luck there, no pun intended. But he did not play well at all last night.
And the other thing, like, I think that gets lost in this shuffle of Philadelphia starting 2-0 is that Nick Foles, I'm not going to say he's become mortal, but people are figuring him out a little bit, Marcus. Like, he's not the guy we saw last year that was superhuman.
Yeah, he's coming back to earth. He has looked shaky at times, and he should thank Darren Sproles for saving him last night, because all he had to do when he was in trouble was to throw it 2 yards to Sproles and let Sproles do all the work. So I think we'll see a lot more of that, because he doesn't seem comfortable throwing downfield to Maclin and Jordan Matthews at this moment. So I expect a lot of dump offs and passes to the tight end, because he's not going to be the guy who. He's already had more turnovers this year in the first two games than he did all of last season. So,
yeah, and I keep, you know, hating to harp on this, Marcus, but, you know, it reminds me, like, and I think part of the reason that people have an issue with this guy is because of his public persona, maybe similar to RG3. But if Cam Newton had those weapons, like if Cam Newton had a dynamic player like a Sproles or like a McCoy, like, this guy would be through the roof. because he's got the physical tools. He's learned to become more of a pocket passer who also has that threat of taking off and running on you. Like, this guy is, maybe it's because he's in Carolina, but I think that this is a guy, like, I put him above Luck in terms of right now, who would I take if I were starting a franchise? I'm taking Cam.
Yeah. I think if all things are even, I would take Cam Newton over Andrew Luck, but unfortunately for Cam, even though they're 2-0, they don't have the same weapons they did last year, losing Steve Smith, Brandon LaFell. So they really depleted their receiver. And the Tampa Bay game, they were sort of lucky to win considering Derek Anderson started, and they looked great at home. But I'm curious to see how Carolina plays out the rest of the season when they actually face some real competition away from home.
Yeah. The funny thing to me, though, like,
I'm looking at the schedule now, but they're screwed. Listen to this. Week 5, home Chicago. Week 6 at Cincinnati. Week 7 at Green Bay. Week 8, home to Seattle. Week 9, home to New Orleans. And then week 10, at Philadelphia. And then week 11, home to Atlanta. So we'll get a sense real quick how good Carolina actually is before the bye week.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, like, they could lose 70% of those games, and Cam still could have a decent season.
Yeah.
But, you know, without the guys around him, and that's going back to Steve Smith, or Steve Smith Sr., as he's known now, like, he could tell my man had a chip on his shoulder in that Thursday night game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you gonna cut me? Release me? I still got something left in the tank. And that'll probably be, like, the best game Steve Smith has all year.
He's probably my favorite receiver. I'm trying to think who else I like to enjoy watching more than Steve Smith. I guess Calvin Johnson's up there, too. But
yeah.
He's up. Steve Smith's up there. He's fascinating to watch. Cause he's Mr. I like to fight guy at 5'9".
He's Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, he is. And he's like 35 now, so he's got that old man strength kicking in, too.
I got one left.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's end up second down this week, Marcus, with a quick look at the AP Top 25 College Football Poll. There was some big games this past week. And
before we get what happened to your Georgia Bulldogs, huh?
See, what had happened was, sometimes, you know,
how about
you
them cops, huh?
Sometimes you got to take a step back before you can take a step forward, Mark.
Uh-huh.
You got to know where you're going to get where you've been.
Yeah. The old ball coach came through.
Oh, yeah. Let's hit the top 10. We got Florida State, of course, at number 1. Oregon, number 2. Bama, number 3. Oklahoma at number 4. Auburn, number 5. Texas A&M at number 7, Baylor.
Yeah, number 6.
I screwed that up. Texas A&M at number 6. Baylor at number 7. LSU number 8. Notre Dame at number 9. Creeping up. And Mississippi at number 10. Any surprises? Any thoughts on those top 10 teams, Marcus?
Texas A&M getting a lot of first place votes. 3. Kenny Hill has been impressive. Not really have seen a big drop off since Manziel departed. And the other takeaway was, I think there are 7 teams in the SEC in the top 14.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
yeah, that's kind of my big takeaway too, man. The SEC, like, it's gonna be interesting. It's a war of attrition. Like, they're gonna be like crabs in a barrel, pulling each other down, trying to get to that top spot, or at least in the top 4. Number 11, Michigan State. Number 12, UCLA. Number 13, Georgia. Number 14, South Carolina. Number 15, Arizona State. Number 16, Stanford. Number 17, Marcus, fight on. USC. Number 18, Missouri. 19, Wisconsin. And rounding out the top 20, Kansas State, yeah. How about them Trojans, Marcus?
We'll skip over that game.
I thought I had a bad week with Virginia Tech choking the game away.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, you're used to that.
Yeah, I was talking to Marcus on Facebook. I'm like, man, Tech choked that one away, and he was like, at least it's not USC.
Yeah, that was Boston College isn't good. And I'm surprised SC didn't fall further down on the poll, so they should be happy with 17.
Yeah. 18, Missouri. Oh, we've already gone through the top 20. 21, BYU, Brigham Young.
Let's stop with BYU for a second. Let's dust them. BYU is going to be that team where you're going to start hearing about soon as the surprise or the one team that can, yeah, the team that can sort of sneak their way into the playoffs because of their schedule, and they should go undefeated at this point. Their schedule is pretty favorable. They did a interesting game against they're home. So it's Virginia this weekend, but I thought it was at Virginia, but they're home for Virginia. So they should actually, they'll be favored for the rest of their games this year. And if they do go undefeated, you never know what will happen, but they'll be this year's Boise State for sure.
Yeah, BYU, were they, because they're independent now, weren't they?
They're Mountain West.
Yeah, I was going to say they were Mountain West, so when did that go down?
The last couple of years, I want to say.
Okay, yeah, I haven't, the realignment, I've been kind of...
It's too, so confusing.
Yeah. So BYU's independent, huh? So I guess after Notre Dame, they'd be the top independent?
I think so. Army, Navy. Actually, no, which one? Army, no, Navy's independent. Army isn't independent. Oh, here it is. BYU, Notre Dame, Navy, Army. So those are the four independent teams.
Yeah, so I guess after Notre Dame, by default, BYU's the top independent?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Like, yeah. And I think there's no way that two independents would be in the top four. Let's say BYU went undefeated and Notre Dame had a good season. I don't think there's no way. Because you're going to have a spot for an SEC team, and I'm assuming you'd have a spot for an ACC team. A Pac-12 team, yeah.
ACC, well, yeah, Florida State. It's got to be Florida State. If Florida State loses, then I think their spot is in jeopardy. Because the rest of the ACC, it's not exactly murderer's row.
What about Boston College? They're pretty formidable.
They're not.
Number 22, Clemson. 23 Ohio State after that loss to Virginia Tech 2 weeks ago. 24 Nebraska. Number 25 Oklahoma State. And that is your AP college football top 25, Marcus Vandenberg.
Yeah, it's it should be interesting as soon as conference teams start to pick up, especially in the SEC. That'll be fun to watch how that plays out.
Yeah, it'll be very like I said, it's going to be a war of attrition in the SEC. Like, you're going to see on a weekly basis, you're going to see the top 15, top 20 just shift because of all the games going against each other. And Florida State is going to sit at the top, like, you know, it is what we do.
And I think that the game of the week this week is actually on Thursday night, not on Saturday. Auburn and Kansas State play on Thursday, same time as the football game, NFL game.
I got no love for Kansas State anymore.
No, why?
No. No. Once you fire a black coach, we on probation. It may not be right, but it's the way I am,
Mark. They produced Darren Sproles. Come on.
It's the way I was raised. You fire a black coach. Like, it took me a while to get back with Notre Dame after they fired Tyrone Willingham.
Oh, man. Tyrone. What about Stanford? You're not cool with Stanford either?
It's
But they had a black coach, though.
So. Yeah, they had it. When did
After Harbaugh. David Shaw?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, like, when? I'm trying to think. How recent was the firing, though? Because there's a grace period.
The Willingham firing? Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, because if it's over 5 years,
oh, it's
you know,
over
I could
5 years,
to.
Yeah.
Because Turner Gill with Kansas State was just 2 years ago, I think. So it's still too real to me, damn it.
You know he's awful, right, as a coach?
Hey, man, he is the leader of the Liberty Flames.
You know, Kansas State is ranked again, right?
All see, right. What happened was that's Turner Gill's players that he had recruited, Marcus.
Well, that whole.
Isn't that the old line? Mm-hmm. He went it with Coach Gill's players.
Uh-huh. Sure. Whatever.
All right, let's look up Liberty right quick, man. I want to see how they're doing. Because, I mean, you can't dispute that he did a good job at
Bill Snyder did great work at Kansas State, and they handed off this black dude, and what happened?
Now, wasn't Snyder, he replaced the fat man, didn't he?
Mark Mangino in Kansas.
Yeah, I'm thinking
now,
of...
Now, Snyder was the old dude who was around forever.
Yeah. Sorry, Kansas State. Turner Gill was in Kansas.
Oh, that's right. I mean, we all confused. Yeah.
Sorry, Kansas State.
Kansas, still terrible, so...
All right, Turner Gill currently is 2-1.
At Liberty?
Yeah, they beat Norfolk State, which is a solid win for Liberty, 17-0, and they beat Brevard, who I've never heard of Brevard.
Wow.
56-31. Their one loss, though, came to North Carolina. It was a blowout, 56-29. But, I mean, that's an ACC team.
Yeah.
He should have lost that game. So, you know, he's doing all right. You know, I liked Turner Gill when he was at Buffalo.
All right, we'll see how he does in the Mid-South.
The only sports show this week, I guarantee you, other than Liberty Football Weekly, that has looked up the schedule for the Liberty Flames.
I'm pretty sure there's no Liberty Football Weekly. That's how low Liberty is.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's a good place, as good place as any, to end off Second Down this week, Marcus. And coming up next, we got segment four, where we're finally going to, we teased it all show, but we're finally going to talk some Rihanna.
It's about time.
Stick and stay. World Kings of Sport, right after the break.
Hey everybody, you remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
We'll Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want. Got to give you what you need. And that is ratchetness in large doses. And that's what segment four is all about. It's our weekly look at some of the craziest stories from the world of sports and pop culture. And Marcus, you're a learned man. You've been to school, you've been to college, you're an editor at Yahoo Sports, so I'm sure you're very familiar with acronyms.
I am.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a quick acronym that pertains to our first story this week, and we'll see if you can decipher the clue.
Okay.
All right. It's just five simple letters. F-U-C-B-S.
F-U-C-B-S. Friend, that's gonna be a tough one. Friend, not dating it.
No, but somebody that did get it, and she got it and gave it this week was Rihanna. Rihanna, what would you classify her music as, Marcus? Pop music?
Trash. pop music, sorry. Pop music.
She's no Katy Perry, I'll give you that, Marcus.
Hell no, she's not, man. She wishes she was Katy Perry.
So Rihanna got into a bit of a dust-up with CBS this week, and I guess it all goes back to the Thursday night game between the Ravens and the Steelers.
It's all Ray Rice's fault. Blame Ray. Her song was supposed to be featured on the Thursday night broadcast. Run This Town with Jay-Z. And NFL, once again, plain scared, decided maybe not the best time to roll out a Rihanna song because she's a domestic abuse. Not a survivor. How would you put it? She's been through domestic abuse.
She's a victim.
A victim. There you go. And because of that, they got scared and decided not to use her song. And I guess Rihanna wasn't too happy about that, huh?
No, Rihanna does as Rihanna can only do when she went to Twitter. And because I guess they wanted to put it back in this week.
Yes.
And she was like, you know, you want to slide my song out last week, but you want to slide it back in this week. F you, CBS.
I can't blame her.
And she did not say, she spelled out the words. Let's just make that. Yeah, she made it completely clear so there was no ambiguity. But, yeah, this is one of those situations where I don't really fault CBS because I'm sure CBS and the NFL are very, very touchy about this, especially this week. And so they didn't want anything that the viewer could make a connection with to domestic abuse. But if I'm Rihanna, I'm like, you know, how was my song not good enough for you last week, but now you want to put it in this week?
Yeah, I mean, she did nothing wrong. She didn't ask to be in a situation where she was with Chris Brown. So why should she be penalized for the situation she happened to be in a few years ago? It just made no sense. I mean, just more backpedaling by the NFL and CBS, and just this whole thing has been fumbled from the beginning in terms of how the NFL is handling the Ray Rice situation, starting from way back in the offseason when the actual first tape and arrest came out. And ever since then, they've been trying to play catch up with this whole thing. And as a result, stuff like this happens.
Yeah. And to me, it's like there's a couple things. First of all, you've got this thing where Rihanna, through no fault of her own, was involved with that Chris Brown situation. And for better or worse, it has stuck with her.
Yeah.
I also think that it was an odd choice of music for CBS. Like, Run This Town isn't exactly like the hottest song right now.
They couldn't find a more current song than Run This Town.
That just tells you like who's in charge of the NFL and CBS. Like, they're like 5 years behind. Like, hey, what's the hot song right now?
I mean, listen, if you're going to be hip, be all the way hip. If not, I, as a kid, loved the NBA on NBC song, John Tesh. It worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to be doing anything out of the box or over the top. If you have a catchy theme song, and most of the networks do, that works. I mean, you can identify your brand as a network with a theme song, no matter how good or bad it is. So I'm not sure why they felt the need to be edgy on Thursday nights and decided to go with a Rihanna song when they could have just used their generic CBS music.
And apparently that's what they're going to go with from now on. They're developing their own in-house theme. But yeah, it's like, if you're, don't try to be lukewarm. Like, if you're going to go what's hot, then go what's hot. Like, start out the broadcast with Turn Down for What?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be current, be current. But, you know, don't try to, like, it was a shady move by the NFL. Or CBS in particular, where they're like, it wasn't about you. It was just that the climate around the game, and we wanted to make sure that there wasn't anybody that was offended. But we'll put you back on this week.
Yeah. So, good on you, Rihanna. Maybe next time, send him a memo, an email. You don't have to do it over Twitter, but I'm sure your record label wasn't thrilled about that. But you got the point across.
Yeah, it does ensure that she's not going to be in any Super Bowl halftime.
Yeah, we can cross her off the list.
In any time in the future. I'm trying to think, what would be a better song, though? Like, if... Oh, wow. If they really wanted to go with some Rihanna that fit with the NFL last week, they could just come on with Roger Goodell and Love the Way You Lie. Whoa. And I think I just ensured that I'm not going to be calling any Super Bowls in my future.
Nope.
So
you can cross off TNA, you can cross off the Super Bowls.
Damn it. Oh, maybe I can call the Canadian Football League Grey Cup or something. See if John Pollock can get me a hookup up there.
There you go.
So let's stay on the field, Marcus, and let's talk about a story that you are aware of, I am not aware of, so this will be news to me and maybe the listeners as well. But what's going on with Famous Jameis, man?
The quarterback you love to hate is back in the news for an odd incident that occurred actually on campus on Tuesday that Deadspin picked up on. And I'll just read the first tweet that they have mentioned here from a Florida State student named Alexis. Today I walked by some big guy who kept saying, "Fuck her right in the pussy." Turns out it was Jameis Winston, hashtag LOL, hashtag Go Noles.
Whoa.
If you aren't familiar with "Fuck her right in the pussy," it was a fake video that turned into a meme that turned into a thing for 2 weeks, and then now Jameis Winston has decided to make it a thing in Florida State. And he was standing on a table, reportedly, on campus, and yelling this on campus today. And, of course, students, when you're 6'6" and the star quarterback, people are going to notice you saying such things, and people were tweeting about this incident this morning. So, Jameis.
You ever watch King of the Hill, Marcus?
Yeah, I used to.
Like, Jameis Winston to me, like, you want to love him, but it's like what Hank, we used to talk about Bobby. Like, that boy just ain't right. Like, he has a propensity for either putting himself in or winding up in bad situations on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Like, And I get it. I get it. He's a college kid. But at the same time, like, you got to know who you are in relation to the rest of the student body. Like, you're not just Joe underclassman. You're the
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner, national championship winner, face of the university. When kids come to Florida State now, they're coming doing some part, maybe small or large, because of what you and that football team did. And now you want to stand on the table talking about fucking riding the pussy. Which, I've just become aware of the meme myself, but it's like, if you're Jameis Winston, there's one meme that you don't want to hop on.
That's the one you want to stay away from.
Come on, man. Like, where's Chris Carter? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, Jameis. Like, what is wrong? What is wrong with Marcus? What's wrong with your boy?
Listen, E.J. Manuel wasn't doing this. Charlie Ward wasn't doing this. Jameis Winston, though. Chris Winkie wasn't doing this.
No, Chris Winkie was not doing this.
No. Stop doing this, Jameis. Stop being bad. He's 20 going on 12. I don't get it.
I'm just looking right now at the Deadspin story. Like, there's so many tweets from his fellow students.
Yeah.
Just, like, there's no way he can say that I was misquoted. No, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Nope. Like, nah, we know it was you. Like, this is, like, a lot of stuff with Jameis, the rape allegations aside, kind of falls into knucklehead college student behavior, but he can't be the guy doing that,
no.
Especially after the rape allegations.
Yeah.
Like, he should be a guy that we never hear about again except for what's on the field. So that's your Heisman front runner.
Nah, he's not. I don't think he's on the list this year so far. If there is a front runner after 2 weeks, I don't think it's Jameis Winston.
Yeah, especially not after this.
No.
Can't you just steal food like a normal college student? Oh, wait.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Like, come on, man. We let you slide for the crabs, man.
Jameis. He'll fit in great in the NFL.
Roger Goodell's looking at him and like, can I suspend him now?
Please stay in school. Please stay the 4 years.
Didn't they suspend? Because that was one of the things I had a problem with Roger Goodell about.
Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, he suspended Terrell Pryor based on what happened in college. Like, I could easily see him like suspending somebody like Jameis Winston 4 games off the top.
Yeah. The preemptive strike.
And then you'll have to go in the commissioner's office like, Jameis, you can only fuck her in the pussy if she allows you to.
Oh.
And yelling it doesn't make it better.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell. Like, would you want that job, Marcus? Like, I know you
he makes
job
lots
right
of
now.
Money.
You would want to be the commissioner of the NFL right now.
Yes, you know why? He's making $40 million a year. At some point. The money makes it okay. I can sleep at night.
Would you have watched the videotape?
Yes. I would have asked for the tape. Yeah. I mean, he had a history of being the badass, so I'm not sure why he decided, on this instance, why he decided to be coy and not really go after Ray Rice. He could have, if he was, you know, the Goodell of old, We would be discussing, oh, he's too harsh for, you know, suspending him for a year. But instead, he decided to not see the tape, allegedly, and just go to 2 games, and all of a sudden, it's backfired. But
yeah, he screwed this up, like, from day one, like, from Jump Street.
Yeah.
And now you got a situation where Ray Rice, what is it, this week or is it next week he's going to appeal?
Yeah, he's had appeal by this week. He might have done it already, but that was the story on Monday that he was going to appeal the indefinite suspension. But he's at a point because you can't go from 2 games to setting up this new standard for domestic abuse, and then all of a sudden, oh, you're indefinitely suspended. No, You gave him two games. You got to honor the two games. You can't go back on your punishment.
Like, if this was a court of law, that'd be double jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get tried for the same crime or punished for the same crime twice. And it's funny because the same week all of this happened is the week where the NFL is changing the drug policy.
Yeah.
And so you got your boy Wes Welk out there popping a Molly and sweating. Woo! And then you got Josh Gordon, puff, puff, pass. And their suspensions may be lessened because they've been grandfathered into the new policy.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know what's going on. Like, if you're in a league where you can, if you say that there you can bargain away suspensions for drugs, like, it's either bad or it's not. Like, either you don't want this dude smoking weed or, you know, let him do it. You know, it's like when you make that a bargaining chip in a negotiation between the Players Association and the league, I take you less seriously when you say, oh, we're doing this to protect our players, because you're not.
And speaking of that, did you see Josh Gordon plead guilty to his DWI? Because if he did it now, he wouldn't phase the two-game suspension with the new rules coming down. So he got out the way. He just took the guilty charge, and he should be in the clear now whenever his new drug suspension is up after week 12. They're all cheating the system.
I need to find a job where I can just act a fool and bargain my way out of stuff and still make some money. Like, I don't think that'll fly at my restaurant.
No, I did see a lot of Zaxby's commercials over the weekend, which is a tease because we don't have them in California.
I'm sure they'll make their way out there eventually. Like, it's actually very good chicken. It's actually, and I'm not saying that just because they pay me and they may be listening. So yeah, we got the chicken and we got. I was trying to tie it back into Jameis Winston, but then again, I was like, maybe I shouldn't associate Zaxby's with Jameis Winston.
No, your employer wouldn't like that.
Zaxby's does not associate with Jameis Winston. We associate with fine, upstanding quarterbacks like Danny Werfel. Oh man, but yeah, that's. Has the entire sports world gone crazy, Marcus?
I think so. I miss when sports was actually about sports and not about legal mumbo jumbo.
Between the NFL, the Hawks situation, like, I miss the good old days when all we were talking about was steroids and baseball.
Yeah, the good old days. When guys just hit 50 home runs.
Yeah. Did you see your boy Jeter, speaking of crabs? That's how we're going to tie this into Jameis. Do you see Derek Jeter at the Baltimore game this weekend?
No.
They presented him with a bucket of Baltimore crabs with his own personalized Derek Jeter mallet.
That's pretty cool.
And then I think he got some barbecue from a Boog Pal, and they gave him something else. But yeah, they donated
some Old Bay seasoning.
I'm sure he has some Old Bay, but they donated some money to a Baltimore charity in Derek Jeter's name. So yeah, and then Jeter promptly proceeded to walk, and then I think the next game went 0-2 because he's kind of terrible right now.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, you getting out at the right time, G. Yeah, that's the week of sports. So that's what happened this past week. If you enjoy action on the field, it probably wasn't the best week. But if you enjoy action in the police blotter and in the courtrooms, then, hey, this is your week.
All right, that'll do it. Daddy had to work.
But just don't hop up on the table and say inappropriate comments.
I'll try not to.
Like, I see on a tweet from some Yahoo staffer, all I saw was some light-skinned guy hop up on the table. The nigga said, turn down for what? Oh, that's going to do it for this week. But before we get out of here, Marcus, let the people know where they can send you tweets and words of encouragement as you go along your day.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at MarcoWill, MarcoWill. And a special shout out to former Kings of Sport guest Monique Jones, who is leaving the Baltimore Sun for a position at USA Today to become the NFL editor. So,
Really?
Yeah, moving on up.
Congratulations. I mean, can we take credit for that? She got the Kings of Sport bump?
We'll take credit for it, sure.
Like the Colbert bump?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying A plus B equals C, but I'm just saying, you know, she was on our show.
Yeah.
She talked to you, and now she's moving on to bigger and better things.
And then, shout out to Monique.
Yeah, congratulations. Don't forget us when you get big time. you can follow me at N the number 8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can talk to me about anything. I may or may not respond. Shout out to everybody that's keeping up with the show and following us on Twitter. You can follow the show on Twitter at KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter. And check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Check out our partners at Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com powers the Kings of Sport. They're down with the Kings, so get down with Place to Be Nation. And I think that's it for this week.
And shout out to Brent Oliver, who tried to engage me in trash talking over some free fantasy baseball league. Get out of here, Brent. That doesn't fly in the United States. They might fly in Canada, but we don't trash talk over free baseball.
Got to
get some money on the line here.
The Aaron O'Neill League is in its championship week. Marcus, you got pretty far, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I made it to the semis, I think. I lost in the semis to Brent.
Yeah, so I think Dennis Black and Asian was in the semis, too.
Yeah, I think he lost, too. I think your setting screwed him again, so.
It's a bad week for light skin.
Yeah.
Like you need the John Facenda NFL voice. It was a bad week for light-skinned managers. It was dark days for the light-skins. But yeah, look, you guys are still doing better than me. Like, I have not won any of my leagues in the last 5 years.
Oof.
The best I've done, I think I finished second in football 1 year and second in baseball. But out of the last 5 years, I've never won a championship. So I'm hoping this year, quick fantasy football update, Tom Brady is about to leave my squad. I think I can talk about it now because by the time this comes out, the trade will be processed. But my plan came to fruition, Marcus. I was able to trade Tom Brady for something of value.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, like I think it took a little bit longer than I hoped, but you can always count on quarterbacks getting hurt in the NFL. And when that happens, it becomes a seller's market for those that have quarterbacks in abundance.
And just so I'm fair, I lost to the franchise, just to put it out there.
Yeah, it was exciting. I was keeping up because I had Nick Foles on one of my other teams, and I ended up getting beat in our league by like 4 points, and I was watching you in the franchise, and Andrew Luck screwed you because if they had completed that drive, I think you would have won.
Yeah, I was only down by a point, or like half a point at that point, and the interception happened, and then that was it. So, thanks, Andrew.
The franchise moves to 2-0, and I think...
But for the record, I'm 1-1, but I have the most points in the lead, so...
I think I play you, not next week, I think I play you the week after, or something like that.
No, I don't play.
You play Jamie week.
Back to back weeks.
I play Bill next week, and I'm going to smash Bill.
I don't play until week 10, so we got some time.
Okay, yeah. We'll have to think of something for that week. But I think I'm going to beat you anyway, like according to the Yahoo projection.
Yeah, that's when my guys are on bye that week, so you got to win.
But yeah, that's going to do it for this week's Kings of Sport. As always, share the show. Like us on iTunes. Like us on Stitcher Radio, where you can go back and listen to all the Kings of Sport episodes from the past. Check out the archives. Go to podcastland.com. Vote for the Kings of Sport for your favorite podcast for the month of September. And that's going to do it for this week. So next week, Marcus, hopefully we'll have a More on-field stuff to talk about than off-field.
Let's hope so.
So, if not, I might be like Rihanna and send a tweet to Goodell, just F you, NFL. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the godfather Nate Milton. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. PlaceToBeNation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best and comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. Want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also our friend Dave at TWFNews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversations. Also check out PileDriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at rspwfaq.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.